I thought we were going to conclude our studies in Malachi this evening, but there will be one more after this evening. Let's read the whole of chapter 4. So Malachi chapter 4, starting to read at verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Tonight we're going to focus our thoughts just for a little while on the first three verses. One of our members is on an Oak Hall holiday at the moment, although I'm pretty confident that he flew to the holiday resort. Some of you I know have been on Oak Hall trips over the years, and some of you have even endured the Oak Hall coach. We as a family have sat on it for, you know, the 16 or 20 hour journey or whatever it is. And when you arrive feeling absolutely exhausted, you can't but help ask the question, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You may have climbed a hill or a mountain and stepped on the summit, as it were, and then asked the question, was it worth it? Was it worth it? The people in Judah were asking the question as to whether it was worth serving the Lord. What a remarkable question. Is it worth serving the Lord? And sadly, some of them were concluding that it wasn't. Look back at chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed, certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Oh, we've been serving, Lord, at your temple. We've been offering all the animal sacrifices. And we feel that it's been a waste of time because you haven't blessed us in the way that we hoped you would bless us. Well, I wonder, what do you think? Is it worth serving the Lord? Is it worth denying ourselves and taking up our crosses every day in order to follow Jesus? Is it worth traveling along the difficult, narrow road? When we look at others and we see them traveling along the broad road and it seems as if everything is so easy for them, is it worth trying to fight against indwelling sin every single day? I've been reading a book that Andrew gave to me, which is all about a pastor called William Wormbrand. If you don't recognize the name, he was a pastor in Romania during the communist era. And for 14 years, I believe, he was in prison where he was treated terribly on account of his Christian faith. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Last week, we looked at Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. And as we looked at these verses, we saw that those who feared the Lord and honored his name had their names written on this scroll of remembrance in the presence of the Lord. And this meant that on the day when God acted, that is, on the day when God made a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who served him and those who did not, that they would be spared. Spared from judgment. Will it have been worth it for those people to have honored the Lord and feared his name in the end? Of course it will. Of course it will. This week we're looking at verses 1 to 3 of chapter 4, as I've already said. And here in these verses, Malachi speaks in more detail about what will happen to the unrepentant evildoers and what will happen to those who revere God's name on the great day of the Lord. That is the day when the Son of Righteousness comes. Who is the Son of Righteousness? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, then, this evening, what will happen to the unrepentant evildoers? Well, as we look at verse 1, clearly, it won't be a good day for them, will it? Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. Now, of course, the language here is metaphorical. And I think we need to be careful that we don't press it too far. It doesn't mean that they will quite literally be burnt up and annihilated. But surely it does mean that they will be punished according to their sins without any hope of being able to repent and be given a fresh start. These are pretty scary words, aren't they, if we stop and think about them carefully. But surely Malachi speaks these words in order to cause the wicked and the arrogant to think and to repent and to seek God's forgiveness whilst there is still time. I had the joy and the privilege this Thursday to take a little service over in the graveyard where Audrey Beale's ashes were interred. Laurie, did you say there were 36 people present? Most of whom, not all of whom, but most of whom were unbelievers. Members of the family and regular folk at a coffee cup. And I took the opportunity to impress upon them a verse from the Old Testament and a couple of verses from the New Testament. Daniel 12, verse 2 was the verse from the Old Testament, which says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." And the verses in the New Testament were from John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." And my prayer was that the folk would be listening to what God had to say through his word. We're concerned, aren't we, that many of these folk who we know and are friends with are getting towards the end of their days, and they're not ready for this great day of the Lord. We want them to be prepared for such a day. You see, that there is a day of wrath, isn't there, to be escaped from. And the only way to escape it is to run to the place where the fire of God's judgment has already burned. Where is that? It is at the foot of the cross. How we long that some of these dear friends of ours would run to the foot of the cross and put their trust in the Lord Jesus. But secondly, this evening, Malachi tells us what will happen to those who fear the Lord. We came across this group, I don't know how big it was, in verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. In verse 2 of chapter 4, you will see that they are spoken about as those who revere God's name. But for you who revere my name, in chapter 3 and verse 13, they're referred to as God's treasured possession. And then in verse 18, they are described as the righteous and those who serve God. We referred to them, I can't remember exactly when, as the remnant within the land, those circumcised in heart, those who had the faith of Abraham. What will happen to these people on the great day of the Lord? Well, look at verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the of righteousness, I take that to refer to the Lord Jesus, will rise with healing in its rays. He will come to bring healing to them. I take that to refer to final salvation. In verse 2, we this lovely picture, aren't we, of them going out and frolicking like well-fed calves. Perhaps we can imagine for a moment a herd of calves. So I did check that out to see whether that was the right way of describing them, and it is, apparently. Perhaps we can imagine a herd of calves in a dark barn, a dark, silly barn, and seemingly forgotten about by the farmer. But then suddenly one day the farmer comes along and he opens the barn door and out they go into lovely warm sunshine. And they appreciate the light as well as its warmth upon their backs. How wonderful it is for them. And what a lovely picture this is of the joy that will be experienced by all who fear the Lord and have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Will it be worth following the Lord? Of course it will. Of course it will. Now, as I conclude this evening, I want us to think about who these words in Malachi were originally addressed to. Were they addressed to all the ungodly nations around Judah? The answer, of course, is no. No, they were addressed to the descendants of Jacob, what we might refer to as the Old Testament church, which clearly was made up of believers and unbelievers. I wonder, is the visible or professing church today made up of believers and unbelievers? And I think we would have to say yes. I mean, as Baptists, we try to maintain a pure church, don't we? And what I mean by that is we endeavour to maintain a converted membership. But we recognise that we fail to one degree or another in this. At the end of the day, only the Lord knows people's hearts. We can only interview people and listen to their testimony and go on what they say. But we recognize, don't we, that the church today is made up, the visible church, I mean, not the true church or the invisible church, But the visible church is made up of both believer and unbeliever. Listen to what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Yes, there will be those who call Jesus Lord, who sing the hymns on Sundays, who won't enter into the kingdom of God. Only a few weeks ago, I think it was in the morning, we were looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. All 10 virgins were looking, weren't they, to enter into the wedding feast. But only 5 entered. The other 5, when they arrived at the place where the wedding feast was being held, found that the door had been shut. Of course, they asked if they could enter into it. But the bridegroom replied, I never knew you. And they were unable to enter. So important, isn't it, that we are those who fear God and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life whilst there is opportunity, so that we are ready for this great day of the Lord that Malachi speaks about here, when the Son of Righteousness comes, when the Lord Jesus comes, in order to judge, but also to bring his people safely home. Yes, it's tough being a believer. It's really tough being a believer in some parts around the world, and Andrew would know a lot more about that than I do. But it will be worth it, won't it, in the end? That's why when we're going through tough times as Christians, we are to keep our focus upon all that the Lord Jesus has in store for us and not to give up and to keep going. Well, let me pray and then we'll sing again together. Lord, we thank you for the Old Testament. We thank you that there's so much in the Old Testament that you want us to know. There's so much that we can benefit from, so much we can learn from. And we thank you for your word from the book of Malachi this evening. Lord, we know you and we fear you and we love your Son. We're trusting in your Son. And we believe that because we're trusting in your Son, because we're united to him through faith, that all will be well with us on that great day when he comes again. And we thank you for the assurance that we can have. We thank you for the hope that is ours. But we acknowledge that we are concerned about those who are not ready, who are not prepared. Perhaps some of those might think that they're going to enter into the wedding feast when in reality they will not. Or how we pray that you would help us as we seek to minister to folk, whether that be the folk at Coffee Cup or Baby Talk or those who come in on a Sunday, or whether it's members of our family or friends at work or people who live around about us in the village or wherever it might be. Lord, we know that we're not playing games and we're dealing with eternal matters that are incredibly serious. Oh, how we pray that you would work through us and that you would bring sinners to repentance and faith in your Son in these days in which we live, not only for their well-being, but also for your glory. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing again.